السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praises are Allah's, Lord of the worlds. And may His peace and blessings be upon our Master, the Holy Prophet Muhammad and His pure Immaculate Ahlul Bayt. Inshallah, what I'm hoping to do in this session is speak out three articles of faith and how they have a direct influence on our socio-political activities today in this world. One would be on the concept of Rajat, the physical resurrection of a number of people before the day of resurrection. One would be, the second is a point, an Irfani point, which Ibn Arabi has spoken about. And the third is in relation to Ma'ad. And these are... It's working. So what I'll be doing, I'll be discussing these three points one by one, and then explain how the importance of them in relation to our socio-political lives today in general. The first is in relation to the concept of Raj'at. Chapter 27, verse 82. وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَبَّةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ تُكَلِّمُهُمْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُوقِنُونَ. When the word reaches them, we'll send forth a creature from earth who will speak with them, saying that verily the people did not have faith in our signs. One of the companions to Ammar Yasir, this is a narration narrated by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where one of the disciples of Ammar Yasir came to him and said, "O Ammar, there's a verse which has been occupying my mind recently. I'm having difficulties with it." And it was this very verse. The Ammar said, "Follow me and I'll show you who the Dabbata min al-Arad is." The questioner was asking, who is this creature from earth that Allah will send? Ammar said, "Follow me. I swear by Allah, I shall not speak, I shall not eat, nor drink, nor sit down before I show you who this creature from earth is." So Ammar went and the companion followed. They reached the residence of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Amir al-Mu'mineen was dining, invited Ammar in. Ammar went in, the two of them sat together and had dinner. The companion was very surprised as to what has happened, because Ammar had swore by Allah that he won't sit, he won't eat, he won't drink. How could Ammar forget so quickly the promise he made? When Ammar returned, the companion said, "You swore by Allah that you'll show me who the Dabbata min al-Ard is. What happened?" Then Ammar said, "If you were paying attention, I had shown you," referring to the fact that this Dabbata min al-Ard is Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. On the same night, once the Holy Prophet woke up Amir al-Mu'mineen by addressing him as such, said, "Qum, wake up, rise, ya dabbat al-ard, a creature from earth." And the companions were there, and they asked the Holy Prophet, that is this title specific, or can we use it to other companions? Can we use dabbat al-ard also with other companions? The Holy Prophet said that, no, this is specific to Ali alayhi salam, and then turned to Ali and said, "You will be brought forth before the day of resurrection, a physical resurrection, but before Qiyamah. And there you will differentiate between Haq and Batil." The verse that follows, verse 83, then reads, وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ فوجا مما يكذب بآياتنا فهم يوزعون. The day that we shall resurrect from all nations a group of people, a group from all nations will be resurrected who had denied our signs, and they shall be held in check. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said to one of his companions, what are the people saying in relation to this interpretation? The companion said, they are all saying that this day is Qiyamah, the day of resurrection. And the Holy Imam said, no, this is Raj'at. Because it said, من كل أمتين, from all ummahs, all nations, فوجان, a group from every nation will be resurrected. The verse for Qiyamah is in 1847, the Imam continued. وَيَوْمَ نُيَسِّرُ الْجِبَالِ وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزَةً وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. The day we shall set the mountains moving and you'll see the earth in full view. We shall resurrect them and we shan't leave anyone out in this resurrection. Everyone will be resurrected. But in 2782, from all nations, a group of people will be resurrected. A physical resurrection. Before the end of time, before Qiyamah, and after the advent of the 12th Imam. Imam Sadiq in another tradition says, إِنَّ الرَّجْعَةَ لَيْسَتْ بِأَمَّةِ. Raj'at isn't an all-inclusive matter. It doesn't include everyone. وَهِيَ خَاصَّةٌ. It's specific. It will be specific, this physical resurrection. Not everyone will come. لَا يَرْجِعُ إِلَّا مَنْ مَحَذَ الْإِيمَانِ مَحْذَا وَمَحَذَ الشِّرْكَ مَحْذَا. Only those who are of pure faith and pure evil will be resurrected. And as it shall be explained, inshallah, in the future, in a few minutes, the philosophy behind it is for the good to receive their due reward. Many people pass away and they don't receive their due reward in this world. Be they good or bad, the philosophy of Raj'at is to receive their due reward or punishment. Reward and punishment in Raj'at differs from reward and punishment in Qiyamah. In Qiyamah, it's a question of tajassum al-a'mal, embodiment of one's actions. One will be rewarded and punished. But in Raj'at,
don't use that share rightfully and properly in this world. Yeah. Those who use that share rightfully and properly, some of them reach perfection in relation to their objectives, some don't. They were on the route to perfection, but they didn't acquire that perfection that they were allocated, that potential. The Imams, for example, none of them reached their ultimate perfection, socio-politically. Most of them weren't given a chance for the establishment of governance. And Amir al-Mu'mineen, although he ruled, he didn't lead. He didn't acquire that perfection he was due. Those who strive properly and rightfully and acquire their objectives or perfection of theirs, there's no raj'ah for them. But those who don't acquire that perfection that they were due and that their share had dictated such a perfection, but they didn't reach it, they will return. All the Imams will return. In relation to us, as long as we fight for that justice, socio-political justice, as long as we go against injustice, as long as we're fighting for it though, we too will return to acquire that which was due to us, due to our actions. But we have to fight for it here. It doesn't matter whether you succeed or not, as long as you're going the right way though. If you go the right way in relation to fighting against injustice, even if you don't succeed in the establishment of governance or anything else, the philosophy of Rajat is for such people. You will come back and get what you were due. Don't forget, reward and punishment here is different to Qiyamah. In relation to those who don't strive properly and rightfully, these are also divided into two. There are some who are drowned in evil, or not drowned in evil. They haven't striven as they should have striven. They should have fought against injustice, etc., etc. But they didn't. But they weren't drowned in evil, though. Maybe many of us are in this category. Here, there's no raj'ah for such people. But those who are drowned in evil, these are also divided into two branches. There are those who were drowned in evil, but received their due punishment in this world. They didn't strive. They were drowned in evil, but they received their due punishment in this world. They have no raja, because they received. The philosophy of rajat was receiving that due reward or punishment in this world. Chapter 21:95. It's forbidden. It's not one of Allah's customs or trends. It's forbidden upon a town, a people, that we had destroyed, like the tribes of Ad and Thamud. The punishment there wasn't a normal punishment. You know, land, the earth was capsized over such people. They received their due punishment. Haramun ala qaryatin ahlaknaha. These people won't return. Annahum la yarji'un. There's no raja' for them. Why? They were drowned in evil. They didn't strive. But they received their due punishment in this world. And in Qiyamah, it's a question of tajassamul a'mal now. That's another form of punishment. The embodiment of actions. What they created for themselves here. But those who didn't strive, according to one, their share, in relation to their share, were drowned in evil but hadn't received one's due in this world. These people will return in Raja and they will receive that due punishment. So there, it's important to, that's the first point I wanted to mention, how an article of faith has this relationship with our socio-political activities here in this world. The second of the three articles of faith I wanted to mention, which has an effect socio-politically, this has been mentioned by Ibn Arabi, which I'm discussing now. It's in chapter 2, in relation to chapter 2, verse 49. وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ. And recall when we delivered you from Pharaoh's people, or Pharaoh's lot. يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْأَذَابِ. Pharaoh who had inflicted a terrible torment upon you. يذبحون أبناءكم ويستحيون نساءكم. Slaughtered your sons, spared your women. وفي ذلكم بلاء من ربكم عظيم. And verily this was a great test from your Lord. Before interpreting this and saying what Ibn Arabi has written, just one small introduction is necessary in relation to chapter 772. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَلُوْ بَلَى شَهِدْنَا. Although there are different perspectives in this, and it can be very foolish of me to say there's only one, everything I'm saying there are different perspectives, but in relation to عَلَمَ ذَار, the phase of pre-temporal existence, there was a dialogue, and it's explicit in this verse that the dialogue, one side is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one side is us as immaterial rational spirits. Everyone in Alam Adar had their fitra intact, pure, pristine. We accepted this responsibility. We made the pledge of allegiance before Allah that we will be your Khalifa on earth. We will act as your representatives. أَلَسْتُ بَرَبْكُمْ. Am I not your Lord? قَالُوا بَلَى. We all said yes. Everyone who's here said yes. Now some people fail, some people don't. But the point I want to stress in relation to this verse, we were all, and as I say, there are different perspectives, but Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi, for example, he's one who agrees with this dialogue. Others don't. And that's not very important in relation to the conclusion I want to make. So don't be too bothered about what I'm saying there. But we, the fitra was pure and intact. Here many of us may have polluted fitras, but there it was intact. Then it came into association with the physical body. Well, it's an association. The soul isn't in the body. The association starts from ensoulment onwards. Now what happened was these pure spirits enter the world uncontaminated, unpolluted from birth, and Pharaoh orders the slaughtering. Some traditions say to 20 to 70,000, some say more, some say less, of 70,000 slaughtered sons who had that pristine fitra intact. Now, these were all newborn. They weren't contaminated with the worldly life. They were pure as can be. In general, just one marginal point. The question of spiritual elevation in Barzakh, it's not possible in Barzakh, except for two or three categories of people. Those who acquire the status of Hayatun Tayyibe, the good life, they can. And that's what one of the supplications of the Holy Prophet is referring to when he says, Allahumma amti'na bi'asma'ina wa absarina wa quwwatina ma ahyaytana. Make us benefit, O Allah, by means of our hearing, our seeing, and our other faculties, in a manner that you grant us life. Waj'alhu, and assign that life, warithan minna. Those who become their own warith, inheritors, can continue to spiritually elevate. But that's a long discussion. I don't want us to divert from the main discussion. But children too, those who have that pure fitra, these people also, they can't hear you at the back. There's some species here at the front. Oh, the men, right. Sorry. Yes, I'm not very good with a strong voice. I apologize for this. But spirits, untouched, uncontaminated spirits too, they can continue to spiritually elevate in Barzakh. لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أموات بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. Don't consider those who are slain in Allah's way as dead. They're alive and they're provided for by their Lord. shuhada, which we commonly say and call out, they have reached a spiritual level. Merely dying at the battlefront, or be you a fiqhi shaheed, it doesn't mean you have reached a high status spiritually. You might have gone for war for other reasons. Shaheed are those who are in the presence of Allah. They've acquired that hayatun tayyibah. These people, their hands are free in barzakh. They can provide sustenance for the living even, or be they in barzakh. Now coming back to the story, 70,000 sons were slaughtered. These were 70,000 pure fitras. Now what's the nature of the provision they can have on those who are living? Ibn Arabi says that their provisions is in relation to the cause they died for. We sought assist Musa alayhi salam. They strengthen his cause. They provide sustenance. They lead to that fortitude. They want revenge from Fir'aun. The same applies in Ziyarat al-Waris. As-salamu alayka ya waritha adama safwatillah. But Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the waris to inherit of all the prophets and imams. Okay, the Imam Hussein alayhi salam was ma'soon. But there's nothing wrong with that further help to lead to that fortitude in relation to Imam Hussein's movement from the very beginning. The fact is that the fitra of these spirits are untouched, uncontaminated, and if you like, they're new releases of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a hidden principle in Gnosticism where it says the more recent something is from Allah, the more value is assigned to it. Just two small examples. During when it used to rain, the Holy Prophet would remove his turban so that rain would make contact with his head. And there were two reasons that have been recorded. One was since the angels bring down each droplet, there are many angels, and that's the time for supplication. And also it's a new release from Allah. It's a new product of Allah. It has its value. It's like children, if you like. Why we're all attracted to children when they're just born, it's one of Allah's new releases. So what happens is in relation to our lives now, today, sociopolitically, and what the American government naturally will fail to understand because of their politics is a irfan-less set of politics, what they have, is that what's happening in Palestine, what's happening in different parts of the world, all these innocent children dying, their pure fitras will contribute to the cause that they are dying for. Now maybe when some leaders say the only way is the intifada, the uprising, this is maybe one of the reasons why. That with the killing of all these innocent people, now innocent is not confined to only newborn, even those who were adults but had innocent fitras, they had preserved themselves. That may be one reason. That's why defeat is inevitable for such forces. Once Imam Khomeini went, before he wanted to be exiled, one of the Shah's police forces said, where is your army? You were fighting for the truth, this, that and the other. Where's your army? I thought you would protect yourself by means of some people. And then he said, my army are in the wombs of their mothers. Because with all those shuhada dying during the time of the Shah's regime, those shuhada will then assist. Now either that the assistance and provisions that they have, there are many manifestations to it. But a generation later, we saw the revolution leading to fruition. So that was the second point. Concerns wilaya, and the concept of Velayatul Faqih. I'm just going to give a very quick introduction, then I'll go to the main point. And the main point is just an idea. I'm not saying I haven't heard this being said anywhere, so but I'll share it with you. I'm sure the elders here, Imam Asi, Oghaya, Ilya, Hamza, Sodaqa, and the rest, they can correct this. Just an idea. I want to, at least for us to deliberate on it. But before I give the idea, I'll just give an introduction here. In the concept of Walayatul Faqih, the wali needs legitimacy and a justification. Legitimacy can only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, the people can't grant legitimacy. The people can grant justification in establishing a government, because you can't force a people to live Islamically. But legitimately, or legitimacy-wise, that has to be granted by Allah, in the Quran and the traditions. Now with the Prophet and the Imams, that's, we have explicit references in the Quran and the traditions in relation to their legitimacy. But during the time of occultation today, this legitimacy too has been granted. Actually, the 12th Imam is not with us. He's absent, sociopolitically at least. The traditions do say that the Fuqaha have been granted this legitimacy. The Fuqaha, who are most in knowledge, just, competent sociopolitically. And I won't bore you with the traditions, because this is a fiqhi debate, and I don't want to say that. Now the Fuqaha, we may have 10 legitimate faqis. If that be the case, the ideal would be to set up a council of Walayatul Faqih. But it has to be one council, one source. And this is also in the Iranian constitution. When Imam Khomeini died, the first question was, that he put to the specialist was, should we have a council or one person as the Wali Faqih? If it was on a par with the sociopolitical environment at the time, if it was feasible, they would have voted for a council of Velayatul Faqih. And actually Ayatollah Khomeini did want and did vote to have a council of Velayatul Faqih. Because the tradition says the Fuqaha who has ABC characteristics, if you have 10 of them, they should work in unity. But these specialist mujtahids, they said, no, we don't have that, and it may lead to more anarchy. Because, you know, as you know, they don't work that well with one another. So then they said, who? But this is a rational argument, it's not a traditions-based argument. Since we can't have the council rationally, then we choose one person, because Velayatul Faqih leadership has to be centralized. So then they chose Ayatollah Khomeini. Just an introduction to the main point, just to share with you. This has to be explained, but Amir al-Mu'mineen, in his government, one of the judges was very corrupt by the name of Shurayh. And Amir al-Mu'mineen didn't discharge of him. He was kept there because of influence that Shurayh had amongst the elders there. But Amir al-Mu'mineen did do his best that the order and the decrees decreed by Shurayh to be on a par with Islam. He would interfere himself sometimes. But he says, Ya Shurayh, قَدْ جَلَسْتَ مَجْلِسَ لَا يَجْلِسُهُ إِلَّا نَبِيٌّ. Verily, you're sitting on a place, a throne of the judiciary, that no one sits there but the Nabi. O Wasiyu Nabi, O Shaqi. Only three classes of people sit here. Either the Prophet's representatives have been represented by the Holy Prophet, or the wretched. Here, actually the Prophet and the Imams were legitimate people who can act as the Wasi and can be involved in matters of the judiciary. But also during occultation, this has been relayed to the Fuqaha, a judiciary that can be enforced, not the simple idea of just giving the laws, giving and executing, having that authority to execute the laws. Judiciary alone wouldn't suffice. or will it be of any benefit? The prophet, the wasi, or the wasi of the prophet, or the shaqi. Now, this tradition I wanted to speak about here, and how it may have an effect on our daily lives. One of the companions said to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, قُلْتُ لِعَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ, I said to Imam Sadiq, إِنِّي سَمِئْتُكَ وَأَنْتَ تَقُولُ, I heard you say that كُلُّ شِيعَتِنَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ أَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنْهُمْ, all our Shias will go to heaven in accordance with their own state and rank. That has to be explained, don't get too deep. All Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, Sadaqtuka, I told you the truth. Kulluhum wallahi fil jannah, all of them by Allah will go to heaven. Qultu, I said, the companion, Ju'iltu fidak, may my life be sacrificed for you. Inna dhunuba kathiratun kibar, some of these sins that your Shias are doing are severe though. They're sinning. Faqal, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam replied, Amma fil qiyamah, in relation to qiyamah, fakullukum fil jannah, all of you, the Shias would go to heaven, بِشَفَاءَةِ النَّبِيِّ الْمُطَاعِ, by means of the shafa'ah of the obeyed prophet, O وَسِيَّ nabi. Again, this word wasi is used. The shafa'ah of the wasi of the prophet. I'll come back to this in a minute. وَلَكِنِّي أَتَخَوَّفُ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْبَرْزَخِ, however, my fear to you is in relation to Barzakh. That's what I fear for you. The hereafter is divided into a minor and major qiyamah. Barzakh too is a qiyamah. The promised day with heaven and hell there is also a qiyamah. Shias who sin won't be saved from, their sins won't be relieved whatsoever in Barzakh, which is a part of qiyamah. They will burn there, embodiment of actions. All their sins will be embodied in Barzakh. There's no shafa'ah in Barzakh. Qiyamah in general, according to the logic of the traditions, إذا مات الإنسان فهو في قيامته, whenever we die, our qiyamah starts. Barzakh though is called the minor qiyamah, where the mithali soul is the subject matter and will continue to be the subject matter even in qiyamah. There's no lessening of our sins, that we will be punished and will be burned for our sins. So we shouldn't feel that complacency. Assuming though we had that true doctrine after being burned in Barzakh, then in heaven on the promised day, then yes. But we've received that due punishment, and then we'll go, inshallah, to heaven, assuming we had the true doctrine in relation to Shiism. But going back to that last point, during the time of occultation, where the Imam says, أَمَّا فِي الْقِيَامَ فَكُلُّكُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, is referring to a major qiyamah, not Barzakh, because there's no shafa'ah in Barzakh. All of you will be in Jannah بِشَفَاءَةِ النَّبِيِّ الْمُطَاءِ أَوْ وَسِيِّ النَّبِيِّ. Now, we all accept that shafa'ah, even believers can have shafa'ah over believers. So this is not too extraordinary. But who is the wasi today? True, the 12th Imam is. But during occultation, it's not far, maybe, to say that the fuqaha are the wasi too. The fuqaha that have to lead that establishment of governance. Now, I just put it to you that if you want to be Wilayatul Faqih, is Allah's shadow, He doesn't act according to his own whim. He wants Allah's authority to be realized. Believe that Wali Fari is supposed to be a manifestation of the wilaya of the 12th Imam. He'll never be 100%, of course he won't. He's not ma'soom. He's not even on a par with the dirt under the nails of the 12th ma'soom. Don't get me wrong. But during occultation, either you say Islam has to be abrogated, or you say Islam continues in all fields of matters in relation to the Ummah. If you don't, and that's what absolute wilaya of the Faqih means. Absolute means Islam has something to say in all fields of the Ummah. It doesn't mean anything else. If you don't believe the Wali has such a right, that Islam that you believe, which the Quran speaks of it in a proclamation for mankind to warn whoever's alive, it's an eternal message. But if you believe in this limited form, that's another Islam you're following. If you want to be a true follower and you want 12th Imam's wilaya to be manifested as much as possible, there has to be a relationship between you and the Wali Faqih. And that's why I wanted to end, just to think about that more, inshallah. So I'm taking your time. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.